All right, we're in the book of Micah, chapter 1 still. We stopped at verse 9. So let's begin at verse number 10. Micah, chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read verses 10, 11, and 12 together. Declare ye not at Gath, weep ye not at all, in the house of Acra, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Safer, having a shame naked. The inhabitant of Zanan came not forth in the morning of Bezel. Thus witness us that he shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Merah waiteth carefully for good. But he will come upon from the end of the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. All right, this is written by Micah, who is writing to Judah, but also he's writing sometimes to Israel, toward the 10 tribe kingdom in the north. But remember in verse number 9, we closed last Thursday by saying, for her wound is incurable. What would that mean? Her wound is incurable. What is it?
Die.
Well, possibly, and there's just no cure for it. Just like sometimes the cancer goes on and on and on, and finally, no cure for that. It's come out of Judah and came to the gate of the temple, even Jerusalem. So the very capital of Jerusalem was diseased and incurable. And then what are they not to do with this fate of the wound being incurable there in verse 10?
Don't tell about it.
Don't talk about it. Gath, that we're in the land of the Philistines, and weeping not at all. The house of Acre, roll thyself in the dust. What would that mean? What would that indicate?
Mourning.
Mourning, all right, mourning.
Repentance.
Sin. That's right. Now, if you have any comments or questions, please give us an email, questions@vftbc.org, or call us at 856-261-9018. So, roll thyself in the dust. Put dust on the heads and put sackcloth on in time of mourning. And the grief, and so that's what I believe.
Usually, isn't it sackcloth and ashes?
Sackcloth and ashes, yes.
So that instead of the ashes, they would use the dust.
Possibly, and sort of. Now, do people sometimes roll in the dust today? And who are they?
They're on fire, they might.
On the throw in fire. Who else?
Just stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah. Children. Sometimes roll. Well, Anna.
We were discussing a dog because my mom and I were driving today, and we saw this dog sitting in the mud. And its owner was standing up, and I suppose getting impatient.
Getting impatient, all right. But who else? Anyone else roll, if not the dust, on the floor?
On the floor?
Yes. Children. Who else?
Sometimes.
Any religions practice rolling on the floor?
Holy rollers.
Holy rollers, they're called. They we don't agree with that, but they say to the Spirit of the Father, they just roll around and get fall on the floor. And so, but this is rolling us out of the dust for mourning and grief. And pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Safer, having thy shame naked. Shame, what does that mean?
Having done something wrong.
Something wrong. Now, if the shame is naked, what would that imply?
That they could see.
Could see it. They're open. See, so it's very visible, the shame. Are people today sometimes not ashamed? They can be shameless. Sometimes they act in a shameless manner. And
yes.
The way they talk, the way they dress, the way where they go, places they do, things they do. And so they shame being naked. They're exposed. And the inhabitants of Zanan come forth in the morning. That morning is spelled O-M-O-U-R-N. And sorrow Bethesel shall receive of you his standing. And so yes, ma'am?
Didn't Job put dust on himself and stuff?
I think maybe, yes, Tammy. I think he did.
Where is Zanan?
Pardon me?
Where is Zanan?
I don't know where that is in Zanan. These are all portions probably in the area of Jerusalem, since he was writing to Jerusalem, Judah. The details in the cities are not always, at least not on this map, it's just some in the area of Jerusalem.
Is this Jerusalem or is it Samaria?
Well, I think he's talking to Jerusalem, verse number 9, especially. That her shame is incurable. See, so, but he's writing to Judah, but a lot of times he talks about Israel, the 10 tribes. Like last Thursday, we had some of those things in the first part of this, in verse number 6. I will make Samaria as a heap of the fields. See, so, Samaria, yes, Joanne.
Well, when we talk about the shame today, I think that one of the things that we should bring up is like these women today have absolutely no shame in declaring the fact that they commit adultery.
That's true.
Like with this golf person. I mean, the women that came forward, yes. they were...
How many do five or six, seven, eight, nine, ten, something?
They came forth, they knew he was married, but yet they flaunted their adultery.
Yes, that's shameful.
As though it was nothing wrong. I mean, the women today, they should be ashamed of themselves for doing that. Not so much the men. I mean, these women knew that he was married, yet committed adultery with absolutely no thought about it.
Exactly.
And bragging about it.
That's why we mentioned in our dissertation and our talk and our tapes on Mrs. Gail Ripinger, who's shameless of her. She has three different husbands, keeping it quiet, and she's Christian, and the Lord says very clearly, you marry while your husband's still living, you commit adultery, and she shall be called an adulteress. But shamelessness, of course, when that's exposed, then she's very irate at the ones that exposed her. Namely, this is the way
she did. Probably was ashamed. That's why she didn't tell people.
Well, she would have done it. So, but you're right. There's a shamelessness about adultery, just open and above board, and it's really bad.
I mean, they don't even hide it. I mean, you know, if you did something like that, you should be ashamed, not that you tell the whole world about
it. The woman taken in adultery in John 7:53-8:11. Which some of the new versions have omitted and taken out, but he forgave the woman, but the men brought her and said she was taken the very act, and the scripture says in the Old Testament, stone her to death. What do you say? Well, Anna?
If she was taken in the very act, where was the man?
Exactly. So one of the men must have been right there, probably.
It's collusion.
So there was collusion. So, and so the Lord said this. He said, you who is without sin, cast the first stone. First cast the stone at her. Of course, the men knew that they were not without sin, so they left, beginning the eldest, one at a time, and left. The woman and the Lord were right there. And he asked the woman, hath no man accused thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. See? So in other words, he forgave her, but that's the end of the line. Repentance and change of life. So they should have this repentance, but they just go on and on and on. There seemed to be no shame in many areas. It's unfortunate. Did we read, where did we stop
at? We
stopped at verse 12. Okay, we had 10, 11, and 12 at the gate of Jerusalem. So for the inhabitant of Marath, it's a Zain, I don't know exactly where they're standing, but came forth probably in the area, and also Bethesda, was a lot of towns there. Pardon me?
Marath or Marath or however it's pronounced.
Yeah, Marath.
That's another one.
Another one, and got Bethesda, and these
Lachish.
Ones. Was it? And Lachish as well. So there's.
Kind of out,
These are towns in the area of Judah, probably, and Jerusalem.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Lachish is the more usual. But notice in verse number 12, the inhabitants waited carefully for good, but what happened in verse 12?
Evil came down.
Evil from whom? From the Lord. Now, in what sense and why did evil come down from the Lord?
It seemed evil to them to have something happen to them.
All right, but why do you think evil came down from the Lord? What was the Lord doing to the people?
Judging.
He was judging. See, in other words, it's not that the Lord is evil, but judgment to them looked evil from their standpoint. And under the gate of Jerusalem, right to the gate. Now, what happened at the gate of every city in those early days?
Court.
Where the judges
sat,
town elders,
the ones in charge of the city. So judgment came down unto the gate of Jerusalem. So they were wrong in what they did. Let's read 13 down to the end if you can. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Marsh-Gath, the house of Zachzeb, shall be a lie of the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitants of Marishah. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bald, and pull thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for as they are gone into captivity from thee. I 13, inhabitant there of Lachish. Strange word. The cave of Adullam. Remember, there's an Adullam Films. That's the name of the Adullam Films. It had that light in the darkness.
What was the cave of Adullam again? What was that?
That's where...
A lamp in
the dark. Lamp in the dark, yes. What did I say?
Light.
Oh, lamp. Mrs. Ripinger hates that one, too. She's got that in her 61 pages. And she thinks it's horrible, sort of reform or whatever.
Cameron, what was that? Was that
when Saul? That's where David hid in the cave,
that's
I think.
That's
in the
right. That's right.
And Saul was trying to kill him, and so he hid in the door.
Here it also says, he shall come into Adullam, the glory of Israel.
So it happens to Lachish in verse number 13, bind the chariot to the swift beast. What are beasts doing as far as chariots?
They're pulling it.
What is it?
Pulling it.
Pulling the chariot. And so bind it and tie it up so that they can pull this chariot.
And they want a fast one.
Yes, what is it?
They want a fast one.
A fast one.
Well, what sort of beast it was.
Well, probably horse or maybe a mule. What is it?
Camel?
Could be camels, but probably horse or mule.
I don't think camels pull chariots.
Yeah, probably would be difficult. Fit in the harness. But she's the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. Lachish is the beginning of the sin. Sin always has a beginning. And that's why it should be.
I guess if we knew.
Oh, so that's the she, the city.
Lachish.
Probably the city.
Okay.
Lachish probably the city. Beginning, in other words, it started with Lachish and moved on to the daughter of Zion. So sin is contagious, and it moves on and does not. It spreads.
And the daughter of Zion, is that Jerusalem?
Probably Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, because Mount Zion is in Jerusalem, the city of David, a high place in Jerusalem that was called David's city, the city of Mount Zion. Now notice 4 in verse 13, in what sense is that word 4?
Because
the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. And that's where sin began, because the transgression. What is the transgression again?
Sin.
It's a word for sin.
Stepping
over. Better trans is a cross. Really, you have to step across. In other words, you know what is there, and you purposely cross it. Transgression. Sin, we can't help it. We're sinners because we're born to sin. But the transgression of Israel were found in thee. That's that 14. Therefore shalt thou give presence to Moresheth Gath. Now Gath, probably another city, just like Gath was, in the Philistine area. Philistines were in this island by the Mediterranean Sea, rather. This whole idea is Philistia, right in here. And Gath and Arad and Gebal and Sidon and Tyre are right in that area. So this is ending in Gath, and so it's one of the Philistine cities. The house of Achzib, probably one of the kings of Gath, shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. In what sense could somebody be a lie to someone else?
Maybe they were set up to do something, one thing, and they did another.
Possibly. Yeah, maybe it's related to the present. Yes.
What does it mean, the houses of Achzib? Is that a family?
Possibly. Maybe the ones that live in that city. Achzib, if he's a person, the king, the houses of Achzib could be a city.
Oh, would it be that they're leading them into sin?
Could be. It may have something to do with the presence in verse 14, the first part. Thou shalt give thou shalt give presence and it be a lie. And maybe the presence were not genuine presence, so it's a lying type of thing.
So they were bad presents.
Maybe bad, but that's another possibility.
Instead of good gifts, it was, you know, bad gifts, evil gifts.
Sometimes there's a real good organization establishes a house, and people know that's the House of Mercy or something. Where, and then in time, it changes, and it might become like a saloon or something.
So it's not a good thing for the kings of Israel. Now you shouldn't lie to a king. You shouldn't lie to anybody, really. So have a lie to the king is terrible. And then in verse number 15, yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Mercia. Speaking of the Lord, I will bring an heir. What is an heir?
A descendant.
Person who inherits.
Person that inherits. Anna?
It is Maurice Gavin, looking it up in here.
All right.
It says, see also Maurice Morathite. So, and an inhabitant of Morath. See, Micah the Morathite. See?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Marashite.
In verse 12.
In verse 1. Yeah.
Yeah, and see, in verse 12, it talks about the inhabitants of Marash. And then it was just. I was like, your presence to worry in God. Okay.
Okay. This is what I did.
So it's got the Marash. Yeah, so there's Marash, Marash, Marash. Different marshes that are combined
so
in there.
So this must be some city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. Where Micah's from.
All right.
Maybe I wrote about it.
It's got to bring an heir on Habit of Marisha.
I can't remember.
Hadadulam, the glory of Israel. That's where the heir will come, the inheritor. And then in verse 16, make thee bald. What would that indicate?
Didn't have any hair.
Oh, all right. Why would that
be? Shave your head.
All right. This was
a reproach. His hair.
What is it?
Pluck the hair. Pluck the hair.
Pluck the hair. Now, this was a reproach. Remember when David sent some emissaries up north, they plucked the beards and cut off the garments, and they went back until the beards grew. So it's a shame. But you have people that are bald all over the place. They just shave themselves off. People running around. Many people today are bald, aren't they? It's the end thing, almost.
Yeah, it's a new
some
trend.
Some people aren't doing it because it's the same thing.
Some things are purely bald. Yes, Anna?
Some people are not doing it by choice.
That's true. But others are just by choice. They just shave it off. Yes, now, dear Pastor Rainey, for example, he's got a disease in his head, and he doesn't have any hair because of that disease. But a lot of these young fellows, they think that's great. And,
my dad was bald.
Yeah.
He had hair in the back.
Right.
But
so, make thee bald. This is a case of either mourning or pull thee. What does pull mean?
Well, that's weigh it out.
Shave, or weigh it out, count out how heavy it is, pull thee.
Sell it.
They had to pull their beards every year. What is it?
It just says trim, clip, or cut off. Trim, clip. Anything about weighing it.
Well, what they had to do each year, they had to, they usually weighed their, I guess it was the, maybe it was the
Nazarites.
The Nazarites, they did something, and sometimes they waited, but it means to cut off. There's no question about that.
Well,
Absalom also got his hair in the tree and was caught in the fork of the tree. Some people thought it was his hair, but it says very clearly it's the fork of the tree caught him in the head. See, so
right. That's when I did my blessing. And I had about the hair and everything, and Julie said that it said the head. So today, that was one of the ones I did today. I had to rewrite it. Have his head get caught in there.
Yes, his
I'm
head
sure
was
his
caught.
Hair got, it could be that his hair and his head all mixed up together. And got
yes. For thy delicate
thank
shoulder.
Thank you, Julie, for all your corrections.
Yes, Julie did a good job of that.
Keep wanting to write you. I tried to call you on your main phone, but you didn't have an answering machine on your main phone.
So then it says enlarge, and she always go to the cell phone. She's got an answering machine on the cell phone.
I didn't know she took it to work, and I didn't want to bother at work.
Yeah, I think it's shut off, so she'd be all right. Then it says enlarge that baldness, says the eagle. You've heard of bald eagle, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah, but they're not really bald.
Eagles are not bald?
No.
What does it mean?
Well, do they look bald from a distance, though, as opposed to other birds? Is it more flat on top?
One of the brands of legal is a bald eagle, am I right? There's all kinds of eagles.
Yeah,
so I don't know what that means. Maybe a certain type of them is bald, others are not.
I mean, doesn't Brianna have she has the crest.
Oh, Brianna pulls her feathers out. Maybe eagles pull their feathers out, too, when they're nesting.
Fallen as an eagle.
Flying around.
For they're gone in captivity.
They keep their wing feathers, but maybe they pull their feathers like Brianna does.
I don't think so. I think they're happy out there.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to look at it.
Brianna wants to be out flying around like other birds, and she's in there saying, hello, Mommy.
So they're going to captivity from the and the people that with their sin and with their lying and their stealing are reprobates from the Lord. Any other comments on chapter 1? We'll just read a few verses of chapter 2, then we'll close for tonight.
Any
comments? It's difficult going, difficult sledding this last row. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, at least, of chapter 2 of Micah. I call it devising and working evil, beginning at verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses to take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove you next, neither shall ye go pollingly, for this time is evil. All right, we're going to take that up next Lord's Day, but do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Well, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy words. Difficult as they are here in the book of Micah, we ask thee for guidance and direction in our lives. Bring us back to thy house on the Lord's Day. And go with us as we leave tonight. Give us safety and tomorrow. And give us blessing as we minister thy word to others. As we live our lives to please thee. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus died for our sins. And that he wants us to live lives that would please him. Help us to do that, Lord, with all of our hearts. As long as we live upon this earth. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.